Well, it's finally here. SEC play starting this Saturday. We've been talking about it a lot. Now it's hopefully all going to take place this weekend. Tennessee in Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. It'll be 6:30 kickoff our time. It'll be shown on SEC Network. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And to learn a little bit more about the opponent for the Vols, Josh Kendall is on the line with us, covers South Carolina.
We know we're going to hear that song a lot. There just won't be the big, huge student section going nuts.
True.
Like usually is the case.
Josh, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Great. What is the attendance? What are they going to be operating at on Saturday?
About right at 20,000.
Okay.
We're going over later today to get a lay of the land and how it's going to work and all, but I think we've sort of seen this at other places. I think this is pretty standard among what we're going to see in the SEC. So they'll have people spread out. They'll have them, you know, stagger their entrance. They'll do the best they can and cross their fingers and hope for the best. It's going to be, I'm going to be really excited to go to a football game on Saturday. I'm also going to be a little sad, I think, because it's just not going to feel like an SEC football game. But we'll take what we can get right now.
Yeah, you've been covering this for a while, and what has it been like to not have, you know, be around the team, be around the locker room, be around the coaches, you know, having to do everything through Zoom and do things the way we've had to do them the last 6+ months, and that'll continue even after a game.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't get the feel you would normally. We don't see a bunch of fall practice. We hardly see any fall practice, frankly. But we do see some. You do get to put your eyes on new people. You do get to see how people come off of injury look. You do get to see, to a very limited degree, who is actually running with the first team. You just get a sense, a little sense of where they are. You don't have any of that this year. Everything is Zoom. Everything is kind of what they tell you, what they choose to let you know. That being said, you know, I never, and I don't think anybody ever has a, you know, a great grasp on exactly how it's all going to play out, especially for teams that are in this sort of zone that South Carolina and Tennessee are in, not proven commodities really in either direction. So I don't know that, I think that I've got South Carolina finishing 4-6. I think if I had watched every minute of fall practice, I'd probably still have them at 4-6, but it just feels very weird.
We've talked about the Vols situations with kids testing positive and what they've had to go through and shut practices down, shut kids down. How has it been on the South Carolina end?
They are not releasing their numbers, but I think that my understanding is that they've had a fairly good hold on it the whole time. Now, they've had days and stretches where they've had double-digit kids out, but they've never gotten to the point where they had to cancel a scrimmage. I don't think they've ever gotten to the point where they had 30, 40 out. They are okay at the moment, I believe, but everybody in the SEC at every school is holding their breath of every test day. And frankly, you know, I'm not going to be really convinced it's happening until they actually kick the ball off on Saturday night in Williams-Brice. But, you know, South Carolina has had some young players, especially, that they needed to get ready to play, be out. They've had two freshmen who were out for two different 14-day stints because of contact tracing. They didn't identify those two players, but it's hard enough to get ready to play as a freshman when you get every snap in practice. If you miss a month, I mean, there's going to be some sloppy play this year. I think we all have to understand that, and I think we probably do.
Yeah. So with that being said, what is something with there's so much unknown, what is something you feel good about, you feel confident, you think is going to be a strength for the South Carolina team, and what do you think is a real concern at this point?
Well, I think their defensive line, despite losing Javon Kinlaw, is going to be a strength. I think they've got depth at defensive tackle. I think they've got a couple of underrated ends, or at least unknown ends, in J.J. Enagbare and Aaron Sterling. I think both of those guys are solid football players. They've got a five-star named Jordan Birch, who's a true freshman, who will get some snaps. I think he's a little behind, but he'll come on more and more. So I think their defensive line depth is SEC worthy, and I think they'll be okay there. I think their cornerbacks, J.C. Horn and Israel Mukuyama, are good, have a chance to be great. And then the question mark is every position on offense, essentially. Marshawn Lloyd, who's the four-star freshman, DeMatha kid, who everybody in the country wanted, immediately showed up here and looked like the starting tailback from day one of the spring. He tore his ACL on day two of the spring. So the guy that I think they were going to stack their offense on top of is no longer available. They're unproven at wide receiver. They're unproven at running back. They've got the Colorado State transfer, Colin Hill, coming in to play quarterback. You know, people are worried about – some people are worried about that. I think the kid's going to be their best offensive player. I think that's where their offense is right now. They've just got so much to prove on that side of the ball.
I know it's premature. A lot of people would say it's premature to be asking this. They haven't even played a game, but you know the lay of the land in the SEC. That's not how – it may not work that way in other places, but in the SEC, that's how it works. I don't know how you feel about this, covering this team, and kind of what's been the chatter, but what are the real expectations, and is there real pressure for Will Muschamp, or do you think coaches that have pressure this season are going to get a pass under these circumstances?
I think they get a pass. I think if in non-pandemic times, the before times, or however you want to call them, then this would definitely be a hot seat, make or break type year for Will Muschamp. But all bets are off now. This is an athletic department that at the moment is figuring up that it's going to be about $50 million short on its budget for this fiscal year. I think that there's a very real possibility that they're going to have to eliminate some sports. They've already had some furloughs, some positions that they're not replacing, some pay cuts. There may very well be layoffs in the athletic department. I don't know how you come out of this and then say, oh, by the way, we're going to pay $13 million to get rid of a football coach who's done nothing wrong other than not win football games. If there was an off-the-field issue, if there was something else, but there's none of that here. The program is in good health. They're, you know, everything is being handled the right way. They're not going to win a ton of games this year, I don't think. Fans are frustrated. They have every right to be frustrated. But I think if you pay a football coach $13 million to leave in the situation that they're going to be in December, January, February, it's incredibly reckless.
Talking to Josh Kendall, he covers South Carolina for The Athletic. He has some great coverage of this game against Tennessee, the SEC opener coming up on Saturday. Josh, I'm old enough to have done some games on the sideline for Vanderbilt when Mike Bobo was the quarterback for Georgia. He comes in there to help try to set things straight. Maybe set the scene for, I guess, the frustration of South Carolina offensively last year and how it led them to Bobo.
Well, I mean, it's not just last year. It goes back to every year of Will Muschamp's head coaching career going back to Florida. This has been sort of the anchor around his neck, trying to get this figure out. He's tried a bunch of different guys. The last 2 years here, it was Brian McClendon, and it just didn't work. By the end of last year, this was a group, an offense with no confidence, no, you know, just bad, and was not going to get any better. He had no choice but to make a change. I think he was fortunate that Mike Bobo was available when he was making that change. I think that Mike Bobo is a good coach. He's a really good coach. I think he'll improve this offense. I think he's already given it some confidence. He's already made it better. But it's still got to be the players, and I'm not sure he has enough players to make it a lot better. It's going to need to be a lot better to make a difference in wins and losses. So I think that, you know, maybe this pandemic pause that they get in terms of coaching stability, you know, if Mike Bobo is here again in 2021 and they've done this 12 months and they have Marshawn Lloyd back, et cetera, then they're on to something. So I think they'll be better. I think that it will look better, but they still, I don't know if they have the offensive personnel to be a really good SEC offense or even good.
We're talking to Josh Kendall of The Athletic, previewing the South Carolina Gamecocks. And one thing that we've talked about with Tennessee is some of the familiarity, you already mentioned Mike Bobo, that Jeremy Pruitt has with the staff, Tracy Rocker being another one, the defensive line coach. How much of an impact has he made with South Carolina?
They say good things about him. We haven't had much chance to spend time around him because of all this. They like him, that he's a hard-nosed coach. They like what he's done with the young defensive linemen here in terms of motivating them to play. I do think that he's got some good personnel, so I think that his defensive line will look good. There's no question that Jeremy and Mike go way back. They kind of know each other in and out. That worries Mike to some degree in the sense that he said, you know, you can't chase ghosts. You can't, you know, you can't be calling plays against what you think Jeremy's going to do because he did it in practice in 2014 a bunch. You got to see what's in front of you and make those calls. So I think that, you know, that it's an interesting cat and mouse game. I don't want to put too much into it because these guys know each other well enough to know that they've got to change some of their tendencies.
I've asked a lot of people that cover the conference this, so I'll do the same with you. I mean, we know that they had to adjust the schedule because of everything going on. They had to go conference only. But do you feel like that maybe they've opened Pandora's box with an extended SEC schedule, and maybe that's going to be what it looks like moving forward? Not next year, per se, but in the near future?
Maybe in the near future. I think that there will be people who like this, like parts of this. But I think that in the immediate future coming out of this, what they're going to have to do is stabilize the economics. They're going to have to get their feet back on the ground, and I think that probably means getting seven, eight home games a year. That means, which means getting back to playing these non-conference games where you can pay somebody to come in and pack your stadium and get a win. So, I don't see that as – I don't think this is the future from now on. I think that there's a lot of work to be done to get their feet back solidly on the ground starting in 2021. And then people will start to revisit it and say, hey, wasn't that fun when they played 10 conference games? You know, knock on wood, I hope everybody gets to play 10 conference games.
Josh, really appreciate the visit. It's going to be fun to watch. Enjoy covering it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, that is Josh Kendall from The Athletic. He covers the Gamecocks. 6:30 kickoff Saturday night in Columbia, South Carolina. Vols and Gamecocks, and that game will be shown on SEC Network. We'll come back on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.